The Autos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, and it's the day in which the veterans, all the veterans, reported to the start of Jaguars training camp. And Gus, it's got to be an exciting day to have everybody in, for the most part, to have that level of excitement kind of ramp up.
It really is. You know, we had a chance to have a couple of NFL mandatory meetings, and then we had a team meeting. And, you know, it's great to see everybody back and excited about the, you know, the upcoming start of training camp.
How's your heart rate? Adrenaline going? My gauge from, you know, the last 45 minutes or so is that you're amped up.
No. You know, poise is such an important factor. It is. You know, I think someone asked me last week, what's the most exciting part? Sure, it's exciting to see the guys again, but I think when it really, you know, when you get on the field, That's when it starts, and you know, and guys love to compete. And you get them out there for the first time, and that's when it really starts.
The news of the day, and it was kind of headlines across different NFL sites, Pro Football Talk, NFL.com, etc. Chris Clemens did not report earlier in the day. You said that it was for personal reasons. Now, my first thought was, is everything okay contractually with Chris Clemens? Because I mean, typically when players don't report, they're not happy with the contract. Is that the case, or is it strictly what you said, personal reasons?
Yeah, it's personal reasons. You know, I don't want to get into it too much. You know, but nothing personal or nothing legal or contractual. You know, he just has some things that, you know, what I appreciate about it is that he communicated with me, and we've had constant communication. And but you know, we've also, you know, talked to him about, we have to have some urgency. And, you know, but we're sensitive to what he's going through. But hopefully we can get this thing taken care of here pretty quick.
Because, I mean, if it were anybody else on the roster that didn't come to the mandatory report date, it probably, and you said, hey, it's just personal reasons, it would probably be, okay, it's just personal reasons. But, you know, Chris kind of, I don't want to say has a theme attached to him, but, I mean, he didn't come to the OTAs.
Sure.
You know, he came to the mandatory minicamp. So a lot of people's perception
right
might be a little bit different that Chris is not here.
Well, I think it's important to be honest with our fans. And like I said, in OTAs, we kind of knew when we, you know, Clem was part of our team, that in the past he hasn't had history of showing up to OTAs. And we understood that when we brought Clem on. And mandatory minicamp, he usually shows up. And but he's always there for training camp. Well, he didn't show up for training camp. He communicated. So is it more concerning than OTAs? Yes, it is more concerning. But more so for him. You know, he needs to be here with his teammates. And like I said, hopefully we get this thing taken care of real soon.
And he's a veteran guy. And last year, I mean, for his first year, you always kind of watch, you know, when he does show up, okay, is he going to be in the shape that the rest of the football team is, the ones that were here for OTAs and here in the off-season training, et cetera. From watching him when he reported last year training camp, he looked to be in great shape. So there's probably obviously no concern there with Chris Clemens.
No, you know, and, you know, he came back in minicamp, you know, and the reps that he had, we watched him, and he did a nice job in minicamp. So, yeah, the team will hold him accountable as well, mm-hmm. You know, and he knows. But, yeah, like I said, hopefully this gets taken care of here in a fast fashion.
With the start of training camp, there's obviously a lot of injury updates, which we talked about last week. You said you'd have more on that once the players reported and information would be coming. Couple notes here. Marquise Lee cleared 100%, ready to go to do anything. Is he going to be on a so-called pitch count, or is this something, hey, look, he can go, and as long as he's comfortable, he's going to do everything?
Yeah, he's cleared, so he's ready. And, you know, we'd kind of take the same approach that we did last year in training camp, and that we monitor everybody's reps. You know, we start off and spread out the reps for everybody, but then as we get in a little bit more, you start seeing them condense, and you know, the guys that are, you know, need to get more reps will get more reps. So yeah, he's clear and ready to go.
Send Eric Marks. I want to kind of save him till a little bit later, but a couple other guys, James Sample, the I think it was fifth round pick rookie from Louisville, and maybe it's fourth round pick. I have to look at my cheat sheet here.
Fourth
round pick from Louisville, and broke his forearm in the off season. And he was put on PUP, which stands for physically unable to perform. explain to the fans what that designation means for James Sample.
Well, I mean, he can when you know, he can't go through walkthroughs, he can't go in practice, he can be out in meetings, or he can be in meetings, but it does give us a chance to bring him back. You know, and when he's ready. The thing about Samp is that, you know, I think initially we were pretty, you know, we didn't know when, you know, we didn't have a good feel. This might be right, you know, maybe the first game. But I think, you know, with the progress that he's made, you know, it could be closer to, you know, maybe the third preseason game, you know, somewhere in that vicinity. So that's a really good sign for him. And then we'd be able to bring him back.
With PUP, you can bring a player back whenever he's ready. Right?
Yeah.
Can you fill his roster spot? Does it create an open roster spot when players on PUP?
No, it still
PUP?
Counts. But you know, I think there's some guys, you know, like a Sendarik, and there's guys that, you know, like Storm, you know, you hear those guys, you won't be able to put a roster spot or bring somebody else in to take over the roster spot because you can bring him back at any time.
Okay, and that's the other guys that you're talking about there. Storm Johnson, the running back, Cap Cappy, ends up on the NFI list, which is the non-football injury list,
right.
which I think is pretty self-explanatory. He got an injury on his own and wasn't under your guidance or the team's guidance. And is this the same type of situation that he can come back and practice
sure.
at any time?
Yep, once he is cleared. And, you know, this NFI is injury or illness.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right, just wanted to kind of get that cleared up. With this pitch count or the monitoring of players that come back, like you're talking about with Marquise Lee, you try to monitor all the players. The collective bargaining agreement has established something with all players and all teams. It's called basically an acclimation period in training camp. Because back in the old days when you went to training camp, sometimes the first practice you were in pads and you went at it. What is the acclimation period and what does it mean you can and cannot do in the first week of training camp?
Right. Well, I can tell you what we're going to do. The first 2 days it's helmets only. And then the next, after that, then we put them in shoulder pads and helmets for a couple of days. And then we get them into where they're, you know, they're full pads. So it's kind of a, you know, a process of bringing them along. Like what you were talking about, you may have been the first day where you were in full pads and you went out there, two-a-day practices. Maybe the first morning was and second, you know, the afternoon wasn't. But now it's really to get the players acclimated to the environment, to the rigors of a practice, to where you can bring them along and not, you know, really tax them too fast, too early.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is.
I think that's a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that you have not seen since the mandatory minicamp, and to be able to allow them, because you know what? You can train all you want on your own. You can go to the track and run all you want. You can go to an empty practice field and do all the conditioning that you want. It's still not football.
Right. And, you know, we're different than some teams, and we do a conditioning test. And that conditioning test that we did earlier, you know, today for the veterans and earlier for the rookies and quarterbacks, is really just to monitor our players to see, you know, where are they at. And are they ready for the rigors of practice? Our guys did a tremendous job. You know, you go back to it, you know, you look back and you say maybe a conditioning test for rookie mini camp, you know, just to kind of get a feel for guys. And so we want to take advantage of that. We do that conditioning test.
What do you do? What is the conditioning?
Yeah, Milo sets it up. It's a series of, you know, longer sprints. And, you know, where we tax them, but, you know, not too much either. You know, we're not looking to see if we can pull a muscle or groin or things like that that hold them out. But yet a way for us to see where their conditioning is and to see if we do have to monitor their reps at the starting training camp.
I remember going back to the early Tom Coughlin days, and we would have the conditioning test. It would be, if I remember correctly, it was like half gassers. You know, where you line up on the sideline, you got to run across the field, come back, run across the field, come back. That was one.
Right.
And Mickey Washington, who was a cornerback that we had at that time, was like Chris Clement. He chose not to come to the voluntary stuff that was all throughout the offseason, and, of course, it just grinded Tom Coughlin to no end. And when Mickey came back, Mickey was always in tremendous shape. And Mickey always had a point to prove to Tom that he was just going to blow out the conditioning test, and he would. I mean, he would just smoke everybody in this conditioning test, which really surprised a lot of people because, you know, here's Mickey, and he's way ahead of everybody else. He has a point to prove. Did anybody stand out in the conditioning test that just wanted to grab your attention and did grab your attention?
You know what? I think they all did a really good job. I think, you know, it's more of a pace – type deal, you know, where it's longer distances, so and multiple times, you know, where it's, you know, we're talking 15, 16 times where they're doing this race. So, you know, I think guys learn how to handle their body and what they need to do to make the time, and, you know, but they're competing while they're doing it as well. So, but I don't know if there was any Mickeys out there per se.
Do the coaches do a conditioning test of any sorts?
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned this last year.
Yeah.
What is that?
No, that's I told the coaches I wouldn't tell anybody, you know, but you know, it's a rigorous test, and you know, but and I think all of us are under a weight regime too. Milo talked to all of us about getting us ready to go too and in shape, ready for training.
Did you guys weigh in just like the players?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Players. What'd you weigh in at?
Come on, Logs. What are we doing?
I don't 232.
232? No.
I was just asking a question.
You know, they say that we have fun here. I'm trying to get this stuck to football here. It's training camp, you know? Joe, what's the deal, huh?
Just having a
little, get better.
Having a little fun. One guy that I was thinking to myself earlier today, because, you know, when you come in, your veterans report, you do the – you take a physical, make sure everything is good for all the players. You do a conditioning test. You do a height weight on probably all the players as well. Telvin Smith. I mean, last year the conversation was always about Telvin Smith's weight. And then when the games came about, nobody wanted to talk about his weight anymore because he played really good football. But I still got to know, what did Telvin Smith weigh in at?
You know, I don't know. I think he was around 218, somewhere in there. So, you know, which is good. You know, we asked him to get up. You know, we'd like to eventually get him to where he's 225. But, you know, probably similar to the fans. You know, our more of our concern is when you play multiple reps, and now instead of playing 30 reps, you're playing 60 or 65 and three downs, that you need that weight to help you, you know, withstand the rigors of the game. So, but he handled it pretty well last year. He's heavier than he was. And, you know, hopefully he gains even more.
I think last year he might have been playing at some point in time probably about 210.
Yeah.
Now, which
well,
is
even less.
Crazy.
You know, there's safeties that were heavier than him. But I really give him credit. He's really done a nice job competing to get his weight up there. And, you know, sometimes guys, they can put on weight during training camp. You know, they get a structured meal plan like we have here. And, you know, so they can put on weight. Coaches included.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
Peanut butter. Peanut butter milkshakes for Telvin Smith. Yeah. It always works. Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. And for season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. We're going to talk about Send Eric Marks when we come back right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And this portion of the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Loggeman with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, the start of training camp, Send Eric Marks returning from an ACL, and there's a lot of conversation about will he be available for the opener, will he not be available for the opener. Do the doctors have a, I don't want to say a concrete plan, but have a plan in place for Send Derek to work his way back in, and then adjustments obviously would follow based on how he feels?
Sure. You know, anybody who's had an injury, there's a return-to-play plan for him. And you know, but prior to that, actually, I mean, he's got some things he needs to work on, his strength. But they monitor him every day, every week. We meet on him and see where his progress is. And, you know, as it gets closer, you know, then, you know, you'll start seeing him on the field running a little bit more.
He tore the ACL in the last game of the year against Houston. Surgery happened, early January?
Yeah.
Was it the first?
January.
Single digit sometime in January or second week of January, somewhere at that point. And so at this moment here, I mean, he's still a little over 7 months.
Right.
I mean, that's not a lot of time. I mean, a lot of guys that have had an ACL reconstruction, if you're an absolute freak like Jerry Rice, you come back in 5 or 6 months like he did the 1 year. But a lot of guys, the typical recovery period is like 9 to 12 months. You guys have to be aware of that time frame.
Sure.
I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, we're aware of it. And, again, it's just the communication we have with our trainers and Doc Kaplan and, you know, see where he's at and how he's feeling. And, you know. But it's funny because it can change week to week. You know, all of a sudden week it might be slowed down, and then one week he makes great improvements, and that's what happens too. So, you know, we'll just wait and see with him. He's doing all the right things, and you know, he's in the weight room and you know, working out, and we'll see.
How has his influence on a young player like a Dante Fowler, who just recently tore his at the rookie mini camp, how has that been for Dante?
Well, I think it's good. You know, they get a chance, you know, in these the off season where they're in the weight room or the training room together quite a bit. But I think Dante, now you'll see him even more involved, like in position meetings and unit meetings. And that's where I think, you know, he'll get a chance to visit with those veteran guys even a lot more and go and see in the season. So I think with Dante, where before, you know, a lot of his initial, you know, progress or a lot of his meetings with the training room were taking 5-6 hours. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to be in some of the positionings. Well, not so in the training camp. So I think he'll get to be around those guys even more.
Well, tomorrow morning is a big day, 9:55. You ready?
Yeah. Prepared.
Prepared?
Yeah, prepared. We're prepared and ready to go.
When you walk out there, we talked last week, and that, you know, the great moment with the start of a football season is the first practice. And tomorrow morning when you walk out there at 9:40 or 9:30, whenever it may be, to the start of practice, which starts at 9:55, and by the way, it's open to Jaguar season ticket holders, what thoughts would go through your mind as you're making that walk from your office to the practice field? And I know it's an exciting time, but what thoughts go through your mind?
Well, I think you're ready. You know, you have some things that particular that you're watching, you know, on the practice plan. Maybe it's a certain situation, and you're ready for how it could play out. You know, some of the one-on-one matchups. And, you know, I think, you know, just overall the practice and to make sure that it's challenging and you're making it uncomfortable for the players enough to where they have a chance to see great growth. And, you know, I think all those things come in your head. I know that when it feels right, you see it where it's hard and the players are having fun. And that's what I told them today. When it's hard and you're enjoying it, that's a good sign. And, you know, I think as a coach, that's what we're looking for.
When you talk about that, to make it hard and for the players to have fun, and you talk about challenging players, the ultimate goal, the reason for all of that, is that you have a very strong belief that those principles make a player and a team reach their potential.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, a strong feeling about it. And, you know, like we were talking about, that a spirit of a team, the spirit of a player is really big. Because if a player loses spirit, no matter how much you challenge them, they're not going to grow. So you want to make sure a player protects that. And then the coach's responsibility is if the player's in a comfortable environment, they can grow. But if you make it uncomfortable for them, the player has a chance for great growth. And that's what a player wants. He wants it uncomfortable. It's the job of the coach and his teammates to make it uncomfortable for him, and the player should enjoy that part of it.
Which players on your football team do you absolutely love because you can challenge them? You can make it difficult on them, and they react and love it because they want to be challenged to get better.
Well, I mean, to single out a couple, I just think the way our team now, I mean, you're talking Talvin Smith and Aaron Colvin and Blake Bortles and Julius Thomas and Mercedes. I mean, Paul Puz. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that love it uncomfortable. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And that's why we're excited about this team now. I mean, they want it like that. You know, I remember in OTAs, Talvin was saying, you can't make it uncomfortable enough, you know, and you know, he wants that strain. And, boy, that's the good players. That's how they like it.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. Let's open up some phone lines. 904-355-NFL1 or 904-355-6351. If you're outside the culinary, it's 1-800-355-NFL1. And we'll take your calls right after this, right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
You can join John Osher and some other guy named J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests, and that's not J.P. Shadrick. We'll keep you informed with the latest Jaguar news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show, Jeff Lagerman and the head coach Gus Bradley. the quarterback, it was very interesting to watch Blake Bortles' press conference on Monday as the quarterbacks reported with the rookies earlier this week on Monday, and to listen how the quarterback grabbed his wide receivers and went across the river because they're not allowed to work out here at the facility throwing the football around, but they ended up going over to Bishop Kenny, you know, high school across the river here, to get some work in. I think that's great. I mean, you got a young quarterback that has taken a leadership role with your football team and taken a young group of wide receivers and taken them, say, hey, let's go to work. Let's get some time together.
It really is. You know, I don't know the exact numbers. I do know that last year the number of players that were here in the teens probably, which is still a pretty good number because a lot of guys disperse after minicamp. But this year it was, you know, sometimes in the high 20s. You know, which allows those guys now, the numbers are up there, take them over to Bishop Kenny, you know, and like Blake did with the wide receivers because of the numbers. So it's great for camaraderie, and it's great for those guys to kind of work together, and the quarterback and the receivers and tight ends, that's awesome.
He's still got a ways to go. I mean, to be growing into that position of being a franchise quarterback. But from just, you know, I don't want to say an outsider, but from a person that has a little perspective watching him and how he's handled himself from the moment the season has ended to now, I have been very impressed.
He really is a natural leader. People are drawn to him. There's nothing phony about him. He's real. The players understand that. They love his competitiveness. Like I said, I mean, height, weight, competitiveness, you know, how he draws people in, the work ethic, the study skills, all that is everything that you want. So now he just, you know, he needs to continue to grow. And that's what you love about him. If he has a weakness or he makes a mistake now, he's out to get it corrected. And he'll work and put in the time to do that.
The term that he used in his conversation with the media on Monday was owning the offense. Is that a teaching theme, or is that his own psyche saying, I have to own the offense?
I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right where he needs to own the offense because he wants to have the conversations with Greg Olsen that says, you know what, I don't like this play. This play I like. This one I feel really good about. And he wants to be able to articulate that. Well, you have to own the offense to be able to have those types of conversations. And that's what he wants to happen. I want to own this so Ole and I can have these conversations about what I feel good about. Because in a quarterback, if they feel good about a play, they're going to find a way to make it work more times than not.
All right, well, let's take our first call of the night. Let's go talk to Harold on the west side. He's got a question about Blake Bortles and the wide receivers. Good evening, Harold. There we go. We got you now, Harold.
I wanted to ask Coach Gus. Coach Bradley, what do you think is more important, in your opinion, for the development of Blake Bortles? Is it Julius Thomas developing into that guy that can make linebackers pay for taking the first wrong step? Or would it be a guy like Allen Robinson on the outside developing into the number one threat that we all think he can be?
Well, it's a great question. You know, when you're looking at Julius Thomas, you know, the one thing that pops into my mind is mismatches. And when you have a mismatch like that, it brings up the abilities for explosive plays. And I think that's what, you know, that would help. That would help our offense tremendously, the ability to have explosive plays. Allen Robinson, because of his height, weight, vertical, you know, his ability like that. He also has the ability to make explosive plays. But, you know, I think the trust factor with a guy like Allen Robinson is what we're building now. And so a little bit different mindset with both. But, you know, they're both critical to Blake's development. And, you know, that's why, like we said, going over to the high school and working out, getting a feel for their skill set and what they do well is important.
Well, watching Julius Thomas in the OTAs and the minicamps, and by the way, thank you, Harold, for the call. Watching Julius Thomas throughout the offseason, he is such a supreme athlete when it comes to ball skills. He makes catches look completely effortless.
Yeah, he really does a good job. I mean, it's that basketball skill. I think he knows how to use his body and, you know, always stay, you know, keep the ball between him and the quarterback. And, you know, he does. And like the mismatch thing, that's why he's been so effective down in the red zone. Now, you know, he's got to get some mismatch opportunities here, and we'll see. But if he continues to grow like he did in OTAs, that's a good sign.
If you were a defensive coordinator and you were facing Julius Thomas, how would you want to match up personnel-wise if you're playing man coverage? Would you want a linebacker on him, a safety on him, or one of a big, you know, the big corners that
right.
you like.
Well, I think general line of thought is, first of all, if you got a pretty good receiving tight end instead of a linebacker, a safety. Now, if he's elite, if he's really good, now you got to start putting a corner on him. And that's why sometimes you see with two tight ends and two wideouts, some teams will put nickel on the field as a defense. So get an extra defensive back in. So it gives them the opportunity to play man coverage against a normal set that you wouldn't have nickel in the game. So, you'd watch tape, learn about the guy, but your first probably idea is to put a safety on him. But if you can't get away with a safety, you got to look at getting a corner on him.
Sometime next week when we do the, which will be actually the third Gus Bradley Head Coaches Show, which will be airing sometime next weekend, I want to sit down and watch some film with you of Julius Thomas.
Okay.
Because I mean, watching him on the practice field, and I know a lot of the fans didn't get a chance to watch him in OTAs, and maybe they didn't get a chance to come out for minicamp. I think it'd be great to kind of just show how he can create great mismatches with a poor defense.
Right. Well, and what you love about Julius is just his mentality on the field. I mean, he wants the ball every time. He's an unbelievable, unselfish player. But that competitiveness in him, if the ball comes his way, he's going to find a way to make the play. And at times, he's going to let the defense know. Mm-hmm. And, you love that part of him, and you love that mentality.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. If you want to get in, 904-355-6351. That's 355-NFL1. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Some open phone lines, 904-355-6351, or outside the calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Let's go talk to Ian on the north side. He's got a question about team identity. Good evening, Ian.
How's it going, guys?
Good, Ian.
A lot of talk on the local sports talk lately has been about a lack of identity or what is the identity of this team. So I was just kind of wondering, when you draft players or sign free agent players, do you sign them with a identity of style of play already set in mind, or do you accumulate talent and kind of let the players on the field dictate what that identity would be? And if you had it your way, what would the identity of this team be?
Well, obviously on defense, you're drafting for a specific scheme, and the free agent players that you pick up. So I think you're looking for guys that are playmakers, and you're willing to adjust your scheme if you get a really good playmaker, if you have to tweak some things. But you also have a plan on how it's going to be put together defensively. I mean, we know that we're going to be an aggressive coverage team, on the perimeter. Our corners is going to be a three-deep principle, play some split safety, and we're going to need a great rusher in that Leo and some run stoppers with everybody else. Offensively, with the diversity we have, I mean, we're looking, obviously we've got a good tight end position group, so you're looking at multiple tight end position group. Whether it's 12 personnel or 13 personnel or 22 personnel with some 11 personnel. But so if we didn't have a Julius Thomas, you might see a change. Maybe it's a little bit more 21 or 11 personnel. So I think you adjust as far as personnel groupings, but how you approach it, where we're going to run the ball. We feel like if we run the ball, we can protect the quarterback, minimize turnovers. That part won't change.
I got to go back here so you can explain a little further. When you start talking about 11 personnel and 12 personnel, 13 personnel, you got to explain to people what that means.
Sure.
The first number or the first digit is
the number of backs that are in there.
Of running backs.
Right.
And then the second number
is the number of tight ends.
And then the one that's not said, whatever's left over, is
the receivers.
Wide receivers.
Right.
So 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends.
Right. And 13 personnel, right? You got one running back, three tight ends on the field.
Now, how many wide receivers would that leave you?
One receiver.
Okay.
So, you're looking at, the multiple tight ends that you have, on our roster, like a Mercedes, a Clay Harbor, a Julius Thomas, Nick Jacobs. You got some skills there. So, you look at a little bit more tight end personnel groupings, the 12, the 13, the 22. The receiver grouping, let's see how it comes along. Mm-hmm. You got some receivers there. If they show up more and start making plays, now all of a sudden you're talking 11 personnel. And, you know, but now one of the tight ends or two of the tight ends have to come off the field.
Yeah, so I like to explain that to people because, you know, if they hear that terminology, it helps them gain a better understanding of what you're talking about. Exactly.
Sure.
And for people to get a little further understanding, when you have 11 personnel, your number always has to equal five. Okay.
Yeah.
So one running back, one tight end is your 11 personnel. So that means the remaining number is three to equal five so that you have three wide receivers in the game.
Right.
So 21 personnel, two backs, one tight end. You have two wide receivers that are in the game.
Well, yeah,
educational
it used to be,
format.
That's right. And, it, you know, before in the West Coast offense, you know, it might be regular, ace, zebra, you know, deuce. You know, they had names for personnel grouping. Mm-hmm. Defensive coaches always put numbers to it, you know.
Pete Carroll didn't.
Yeah, but now it is, you know, on defense now it is. So
he changed his mind?
Yeah. maybe when I was there, but, you know, unless he changed back. But it used to, you know, so I think it's easier for the fans to identify it now. You know, to learn 12 personnel, 11 rather than zebra and ace, it's easier.
All right, thanks for the call, Ian. Let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll continue with a few more calls right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Suffering from hip or knee pain? Baptist Health and Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute now offer a new treatment called Makoplasty that will help improve your life. If you have osteoarthritis of the hip or knee and haven't found relief from anti-inflammatory medicine or other treatments, this option may be for you. Through advanced robotic technology, Makoplasty restores your mobility with an implant that's positioned precisely for your joint. This customized fit means you get a more natural feeling hip or knee with better range of motion. After spending years with a painful hip or knee, many patients are surprised at how quickly they can return to the activities they've been missing. Why live with hip or knee pain? To learn if Makoplasty Precision Joint Replacement from Baptist Health and Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute is right for you, make an appointment today. Call 904-JOI-2000. That's 904-564-2000.
Jaguar fans, Tony Baselli here. The water in our area is hard. It tastes terrible. Ruins faucets and appliances. So I called Culligan, the official water of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they fixed all my water problems with a water treatment system. And now I have amazing water. So good, I drink it right from the kitchen sink. Contact Culligan at yculligan.com and ask about their water treatment specials starting as low as $9.95 per month. Culligan, better water, pure and simple. Limited time offer. Dealer participation may vary.
Who are the members of Local Union 234? They're the ones you see in traffic every morning, at the grocery store, and at your favorite restaurant. They're the engineers, artists, and scientists that build the offices you work in, design air duct systems to keep you cool, and measure pipes to keep plumbing together like a puzzle. More than anything, they're a family, with a wide range of backgrounds all coming together for a common purpose. Union members choose to build more than just a community. They build long-lasting friendships. The best part? There's room in the family. UA Local 234, make the right connection.
Steinmart's been voted America's Best Department Store for 2015 in USA Today's 10 Best Readers' Choice Poll. Come see for yourself. Amazing designer fashion up to 60% off department store prices every day. Join Steinmart Rewards and earn points for every dollar you spend in store. Find your best style at our six locations in Jacksonville and at steinmart.com. Steinmart, a proud sponsor of the Jaguars Women's Club.
Jaguars Black is a new premium business program designed to help local Jacksonville businesses do more business. Get access to unique events and experiences, exposure and recognition programs, consulting services, and the Jaguars Black Business Playbook. Let our team help you create customized hospitality plans around your business goals with a focus on generating positive return on investment. To learn more and to book an appointment with a personal hospitality consultant, visit jaguarsblack.com. Get your business in the black.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And just a reminder for everybody, tomorrow the first practice of Jaguars training camp is at 9:55 a.m., but it is only open to season ticket members. Now, Saturday and Sunday's practice is open to the public, but you must register online at jaguars.com. Both Saturday and Sunday's practices are at 9:55. And then on Monday, you guys go on the road. going to Mandarin High School for a 6 o'clock p.m. practice. You looking forward to that?
Yeah, it was a great event last year. Really enjoyed it. And our players enjoy a night practice. And, you know, the weather will cooperate, and we'll have a great night.
I hope so. And that was that last year's one was down at Bartram. All right, let's take one more phone call this evening. Let's go talk to Mimi in Bay Meadows. Got a question about Luke Jokel. Good evening, Mimi.
Hi, how are you guys tonight?
Good, Mimi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for taking my call. And, Jeff, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your Saturday program, even though I don't fish or hunt.
Well, thank you, Mimi.
But anyway, I wanted to bring up a discussion regarding Luke Jokel, and I was wondering how you would rate his 2014 performance and what are you looking to see in the way of changes or improvements in 2015 for him. And I'll take it off the air, but go Jags and good luck, Coach.
I appreciate that. You know what? Luke, I think, is going to – he's a fine player now. I know – you know, it's funny. Talk to Jeremy Purnell about Luke Jokel, and he'll say, wow, this guy's got a chance to be very, very good left tackle in the league. Just needs some even more experience and learn some of the things that maybe cause him some problems and get those things taken care of. And he's so right. That's what Luke needs. He just needs to keep growing and learning and developing confidence. But I think Luke really attacked this offseason. He's gotten bigger, stronger. I think his mind, the way he's approaching this, we really look forward to seeing him really take another step as a left tackle in this league.
How difficult is it to challenge somebody like Luke Jokel? Because, I mean, he's trying hard. Remember, he lost the first year pretty much because he had – you know, the right tackle, and then he went to left tackle, had the broken leg, then he's coming back from injury, and now it's his first time starting as a left tackle, and hasn't had as much experience as most guys going into their third year, but he's clearly got talent. I mean, he's got the feet.
Right.
And you say he's gotten bigger and stronger. How do you keep his confidence and build his confidence, but at the same time to try to demand more?
Well, I don't think, you know, it's a confidence issue. When you talk to Luke, he's very competitive. And there's no one wants to get it right more than Luke. So, you know, I think as he plays the position more and, you know, understands how teams are trying to attack him and learns how to adjust and uses his strengths to combat those things, then you'll see him play at a higher level. And sometimes he just needs reps. I know that, you know, it takes some time. We're sitting right over here now, you know, next to a guy that, you know, he'd probably say that it took a little bit of time. I know it took him time just in training camp. You know, he said the first week was always a little bit more difficult, you know, just to get everything going a little bit and get back in the routine of things. And, you know, it's just a tough position where you're on an island a lot, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time.
And his first year starting as a regular at left tackle, you go back to last year, you lost your position coach for the year, you had a meeting room that was full of young players, and now this year you have a veteran coach in Doug Marrone. You have some veteran presence in the room and Wisniewski and Parnell. How much does that help a guy like Luke Jokel?
Well, everybody, you know, every year of experience helps you. And then I think that, you know, Greg Olson will do a great job. And I think he understands now having the ability to see these guys play for a year, for a full year. Okay, now how do we best utilize their strengths? When some of these guys, they're playing for the first time, you're trying to figure out what their strengths are as they play. So I think we can evaluate these guys, see what we need to do to help them, what their weaknesses are. And these guys are, you know, Luke Jokel's into it right now, just kind of fine-tuning some of the areas that he needs improvement on. And that is probably not as overwhelming maybe it was his rookie year.
You said that he had gained some size and strength, ballpark. You know, what did he weigh last year and what might he weigh this year?
You know,
10 pounds up maybe?
I'd say, you know, maybe a little bit more. But, you know, you're looking at lean body mass and, you know, it's good weight that he put on. And, you know, and his strength, his overall strength. And, you know, we say that I don't think it's a confidence problem. But when you're bigger and stronger, it helps the confidence.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Proud of the Jaguars having their first practice of training camp. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And Gus, tomorrow the big day starts. You going to be able to sleep tonight for the start of training camp?
Yeah, I might sleep here. But no,
you don't
do
that, do you?
No.
I remember growing up as a kid, you know, reading and hearing about Joe Gibbs, you know, who was just an absolute workaholic. Used to sleep in the office, had a cot in his office. Is that one of the old school stories? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's not saying that it isn't done now today. Yeah, people do it, and you know, you do. I mean, it's just a matter of saving time. But sometimes you're at night and you get on a roll, just like anybody in anybody's profession. You get on a little bit of a roll, and next thing you know, you look at the clock and it's 2 a.m. and you got to be back early again. And you say, you know what, I'll just sleep here. You know, it's you know, but you're right. You don't want to make a habit, because being fresh for the players and for the team is so important. Boy, mm-hmm. They feed off it. And so, you know, to make a habit of it, you try to stay away from it.
Are you excited to see the pads go on? I am. I mean, because, you know, some of the big guys, I mean, the battles along the offensive line, the addition of Jared Odrick, it's kind of hard to evaluate him until they start to hit.
No, there's going to be some straining. There is no doubt in our training camp. And our team needs to be strained, and they need it uncomfortable, and they need to be challenged every day. And when those pads come on, you know, there's no hiding, right, Lux? You can't hide when the day the pads are on.
The one guy that I failed to mention earlier, and I had a question about because I didn't read anything about it, Stefan Wisniewski. Is he going to be cleared to go?
Yeah.
At start camp?
He's done a great job. You know, as far as I know, it was very difficult for him going through OTAs and minicamp, not being able to participate. But now that training camp starts and he's cleared, you get a chance to see him out there.
So he's 100% cleared. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
And he was, for those that don't know, the free agent center that was signed from the Oakland Raiders, got a lot of starts under his belt.
Right.
You know, expecting a pretty good competition between him, excuse me, and the young center Luke Bawanko. My Virginia guy.
Yeah, we'll have great competition, you know, for all those guys, and they're competing, and you know, the challenges. Can they have a clear mind to where they can really improve? Can we improve at a rapid rate? But it's going to be exciting. You know, guys, you can tell the camaraderie's good. They like the idea of playing with one another and challenge one another and take this to another level.
Of all the guys on this football team, who do you look forward to watching the most? I mean, for me, it's about the quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously your eyes are drawn to that. But, you know, a linebacker taking on a fullback, or a tight end, a moving tight end. You know, sometimes it's just those matchups, or, you know, a switch block or a double team. Or, you know, there's so many things. That's why it takes so long to watch film, because you're intrigued by all of it.
All right, well, just don't do any of these Oklahoma drills or anything else crazy to get anybody hurt. Gus, enjoy the night, and looking forward to tomorrow, and we'll talk to everybody next week, same time, same place, right here on the Gus Bradley Show.
Thank you.